The Drex Radio Show continues. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
Human beings were not meant to sit in little cubicles staring at computer screens all day.
I feel so cooped up in this place.
Okay, but remember, serpentine!
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 Could you repeat that last part?
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com, along with Heather and John Lobertini in the KGO newsroom. We're going to walk down memory lane coming up with documentarian Strephon Taylor coming up later this hour. And we're going to be talking, and we were talking about Frank Sinatra. So, you know, we're going way back, it's the way back machine tonight. Playland at the beach, if you are actually an actual native of San Francisco, you might remember Ocean Beach from the 50s or 60s. Or how about Sutro's, the palace at Land's End from the 30s, 40s? For a long time, he did a documentary
good
about
times.
This. Yeah, good times. But I want to take up a serious topic for a second, and I invite John Lobertini from the KGO newsroom into the studio to once again, and for the first time, us, between the three of us, have a chat about the new video that has surfaced of the fatal shooting of Mario Woods.
It's stunning video.
It is unreal.
There are three pieces of video. And what strikes you is that there are six or seven police officers mm-hmm. with guns drawn. Mario Woods, 26-year-old man, looked to me like he was high out of his mind. Now, I've been covering news for a long time, spent a lot of time on the streets. You know, you get pretty good at reading people. They said he had a knife. None of those pieces of video show it. He was a suspect in a stabbing a few blocks away. So the question then becomes, he's not responding to their commands to surrender. They hit him with beanbags. And then finally, he tries to walk away, and they unload on him. Initially, we thought it was 15 shots. Then we heard 16. Today, John Burris, who is filing a civil rights lawsuit on behalf of the family, said there were 20 wounds that suggests there may have been 20 bullets. So the question then becomes, was deadly force necessary? Well, in the San Francisco Police Department, they are not authorized to use tasers. The matter was brought up in 2013. The police commission, and this is typical San Francisco, overthinking everything. Apparently, they had someone from UCSF come down and say, well, you know, if you tase the wrong person, they could die. And like, well, and this is the alternative.
A hail of bullets is the alternative. And by the way, I hadn't, just to interject here, I'm shocked by that. You know, I've only been back to the Bay for a year. And when you told me today that the SFPD is not allowed to use tasers, that just blows my mind.
They don't, and the issue's been brought up before. It was brought up in 2013 before the police commission, and Greg Sir brought it up, clearly recognizing that there needed to be something other than a bullet to,
or you a beanbag.
Or a beanbag to defuse the situation. And apparently the idea became so restricted that the police commission was willing to do it, but there were so many restrictions that Sir pulled the idea because it wasn't going to serve his officers well. So fast forward, just a few days afterwards, well, actually, it was the very next week, which was Wednesday of this week, I believe, the police commission again met. That was a long public comment period about okaying the use of stun guns. The president of the police commission said she was really willing to revisit that possibility. They didn't decide anything on Wednesday, but the San Francisco Police Department is not authorized to use tasers or stun guns, and though they talked about it on Wednesday of this week, nothing has been decided.
And when you look at this video, and I think we have the audio, which we can play here, but I have to tell you, when you look at the video, you can't help but think, well, if they would have tased the guy, they certainly would not have had to shoot. This is just what I'm saying. I would think that he'd still be here.
Well, apparently there are nets too that you can get that are sort of like taser nets that you can that officers can shoot at people. I mean, they can shoot those things, you know, from 4 or 5 feet away, you know, with the tasers and knock people down.
And I bet the police department, I can't speak, if you're a police officer and you have a comment, if you're a citizen, you have a comment, 808-0810. I'm sure that they wish that they could have used this, you know something having to unload on him.
You know what? And in the world of politics, sadly, something like this has to happen before some serious discussion
just
about the unfettered use of tasers in San Francisco is discussed.
Let's go to the phones. 808-0810.
Yeah, I think we've found already someone who knows what they're talking about with regard to tasers. It's Aram in Palo Alto who's just written a piece, and maybe tell us how you know what you know about tasers.
Well, you know, I didn't actually write the piece. It was an interview of me by Paul Klayman for New American Media that was posted today. But the training of officers is as follows. If someone has a gun or a knife in a proximity of the officers where they can close, say, a 21-foot gap within 3 seconds, the training is very specific. Do not use a taser. You must shoot at center force to kill. Now, the training there, you can talk to any of the training officers, and they'll tell you that's what happens. And if you look at the statistics nationwide, tasers are almost always used on unarmed people. And here's the issue. Tasers fail about 30% of the time in the dart mode, and in the stun mode where it's placed up against the body about 60% of the time. And so the saying is you don't bring a taser to a gunfight.
But this gentleman had a knife, allegedly.
Well, I understand. And what I'm telling you, Drex, is I don't think they should have shot and killed him, but the point is the training is very specific, and I don't agree with the training, but the training is as follows. If someone has a knife and they can, if the taser fails, you have a dead officer.
Right, right. So, that's exactly what you said, I think, John, while we talked about this before we went on the air, is that the training is such that...
Well, yeah, what we've done is we trained these officers to do this, and now in this advent of cell phone cameras everywhere, you know, it doesn't look right to the untrained eye. And so we criticize these guys for using the training that they are required to use in a crisis like the one we had
involved in Mario World. Yeah, and it's muscle memory.
But, John, it sounds to me that what you're saying is that this may not have been a case where the knife was in his hands at all. And if it was, he wasn't in a position to close 21 feet in 3 seconds. And so in that situation, the gun would still not have been justified.
I'm not saying the gun was justified. I've looked at three pieces of video. It's grainy. I can't see the knife. But I'm not the only one that said that. And I'm not necessarily being critical of the San Francisco Police Department, because those guys are using their training. You know, we had a criminologist on last week from across the country who'd seen all this video, and he said pretty much the same thing that you've said. These guys follow their police training. I think the question that a lot of people are asking right now is that can't there be another alternative?
Yeah.
This guy looked like he was. Yeah, I mean, read the room is the bottom line here.
John, I totally agree on another alternative, but the taser is not the alternative. The interview.
Well, then something like it. Is a stun gun any different?
No, they're the same thing, just a different name, okay? So stun gun, what they call them now is control weapons, electronic control weapons, you know, sort of a draconian name that they've, electronic control weapons. So the bottom line is that they kill indiscriminately because the person that's shooting the taser doesn't know the vulnerability of the police officer. And one of the clues to this, John and Drex and Heather, is that the police officers themselves used to be mandatorily required to subject themselves to a taser exposure as part of their training. But because so many officers were injured, even in those tightly controlled circumstances, many departments no longer allow officers to be voluntarily exposed to a taser. And so
use them, institute the use of them or not?
I'm opposed to them. Absolutely opposed. I'm absolutely opposed to also shooting somebody dead that may not have had a knife. But the point is, tasers is not the solution.
Well, this is precisely how and why this argument gets bogged down, because, well, they don't work 30 or 40% of the time, so let's not use them at all. So, you know, it's a tough call.
But John, the problem is when you use them on unarmed people, which is 95% of the time, you're risking taking somebody's life that doesn't deserve the application.
Yeah, I think you guys are really in agreement, and probably all of us in this room are, that it's better to disable somebody than to murder them in the street in front of people in daylight, you know?
Would you rather take your chance with a taser or a bullet?
Well, that's a red herring, John. Here's the reason why. Because if I have a knife or a gun, I can go back to that. They're not going to use a taser on me pursuant to their training. So the only people that almost ever get shot with tasers, the statistics are overwhelming, about 95% are unarmed people. And in that context, we have somewhere, depending on who you want to listen to, 200 to 900 deaths. The ACLU says it's over 500. Amnesty International says that. The Department of Justice says somewhere around 200. Truth Not Tasers puts it over 900 deaths of unarmed people, predominantly unarmed people. Well, what I'm saying, John, is I don't disagree that we need something other than just the gun option, but tasers is not the solution.
Gotcha.
All right. Thank you very much for the
great
call.
What do you do, Aram? How do you know this?
You know, I've been writing on tasers. I'm a retired public defender. I've been studying and writing on it. I've got, like I said, take a look at the piece online, but I've been speaking at all over the Bay Area for years.
Wonderful. Thanks a million.
Hold on a second. We want to talk to you. 808-0810. Other people have very strong opinions about this. And as we talk about the Mario Woods, the shooting, I have to tell you, man, when I'm looking at that video that was just released today from the law firm, it is deeply disturbing.
Well,
we have some sound. We'll play it on the other side. We have to play the edited version because I guess this woman, one of the views was from the bus or a trolley or something.
Right, the woman who shot the video.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of profanity there, but she's, you know, horrified that this guy, this seemingly unarmed guy is being shot.
All these police officers are there, and you know, and she's on the bus yelling, stop, you know, give yourself up. What was she yelling? Stop, you know.
Drop the knife.
Yeah. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be back. 808-0810 is the number. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
It's the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
So a new video of the fatal shooting of Mario Woods shows San Francisco police officers fired a barrage of shots at him while he held his arms at his sides, in apparent contradiction to the police department's account that he prompted his killing by threatening officers with a kitchen knife. The video was released today by his attorney, John Burris, who is representing the Woods relatives, announced that the family filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against the city in connection with the December 2nd killing in the city's Bayview neighborhood.
Now, this is the third piece of video that's been released. There were two pieces of video that were released on the night of the shooting. This video is also shot from a Muni bus that was stopped nearby. And there's a woman yelling at Mario Woods, drop the knife, drop it, drop it.
We're going to play a brief clip.
And here's the clip.
So now we think that there are how many gunshots?
Well, initially we were told 15 gunshots, then 16. Now, John Burris today revealed that there were 20 wounds in the body of Mario Woods. We don't know who that woman is. We don't know if there's any relation to Mario Woods, but that's a two-minute piece of video, the longest I've seen so far. And she goes on to climb out of that bus and berate all of those San Francisco police officers, cussing them out, asking
why did you have to shoot him?
Yeah, why did you have to shoot him?
Over and over. There's so many, you know, profanities that we cannot air it. But you can look at it online, and you're going to find it as deeply disturbing as I think we do, and anybody who sees it. And so, you know, the discussion is, couldn't they have tased him or something? Couldn't there have been something
else?
He
had a knife, not a gun. Wasn't there some other form of police force other than deadly force that could have defused that situation? And in San Francisco, they can't use tasers. So as we just heard, and we've heard repeatedly over the past week, that these police officers followed their training and resorted to the only option they had, which was to fire.
To the phones we go.
Paul in San Mateo, go ahead.
Yes, hi, and thanks a lot. Say, I went through the criminal justice system. Wanted to be a police officer a long time ago, like close to 30 years ago, and I decided not to do it for various reasons. But the one thing I do know for sure is that is that we're trained as trained marksmen. You go to the firing range often shooting at silhouettes of human beings, okay? And you get these little medals, you get these little placards and little pats on the back, okay, for your marksmanship as far as hitting different areas of the body with precision. There was five officers there, all trained in marksmanship, and I guarantee you one thing. At that close range, and I've seen the video, if you take out a knee, okay, there goes your 21 feet within 3 seconds or whatever it is, all right? All it takes is one shot. I mean, ask yourself, what would Annie Oakley do? Okay, what would Doc Holliday do? I mean, those are like stable people, you know, that know how to shoot, all right? You don't need to bury 20 bullets into a guy with a knife. If you go to the range and you hit the target where you hit it,
you know,
it brings up a great point.
Listen,
thank you.
I've asked Police Chief Greg Sir that very question. I said, do you always have to shoot to kill? Because you ask them, what are you trying to do when you shoot?
Yeah. Well,
they basically tell you that we shoot to kill. And I said, do you have to shoot to kill? And they said, we have to control the situation. We have to defuse the situation.
And it puts them in this horrible situation, damned if they do and damned if they don't.
Well, yeah, and we were talking about that earlier. We're training these men and women to a certain standard and then criticizing them for using the training that's been approved by law enforcement agencies all over the country.
And that's a very fine, thin blue line for sure. All right, next call.
I think, though, John, you might remember with that David Klinger interview, he or someone like him told us that they do have to hit the torso because it's a much larger and easier to hit area. If you go for a leg and you miss, you could be screwed.
Well, and he also said that, you know, there are times that you can shoot someone, and this is kind of graphic, he said, but it can take someone 30 or 40 seconds to die. I mean, you might hit them with a bunch of bullets, and they can still keep. Look,
okay,
this
we
is
think
the
more than a dozen allegedly,
I'm telling you, I'm just recounting what this expert said. He says it can take time for these people to die. It can take time to slow them down, which is why they fire as much as many bullets as they do.
And unfortunately, we've seen a lot of videos of people who are, you know, on whatever drug, and it takes. I get what you're saying.
Scarface.
808-0810. It's just really tough to look at. It's really tough to talk about, and it's really tough to to discuss and to hear the audio or look at the video. Next, let's go to the phones. 808-0810 is the number. Well, lines are filled.
Okay, Rich in Livermore, go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call. Mm-hmm. You know, this is once a week we have this conversation where a cop shoots somebody with a knife, and unless I see a knife the size of that one in Indiana Jones that's 3 feet long, I think it's ridiculous that they shoot him. They could have followed this guy. They could have done so many things. Nobody's life was even close to really being in that much danger.
It doesn't look that way when you look at the video.
You do have to wonder how many times somebody with a knife gets the best of six cops with guns, right?
808-0810. I've got to take a break for the news, and we'll be back. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll continue the conversation. Should the San Francisco Police Department be armed with tasers? Another or some other sort of way to control the situation other than beanbags and bullets? You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
The Drex Radio Show continues. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
If it matters to you, he's talking about it. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
You're listening to Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world on KGOradio.com along with Heather and John Lobertini in the KGO newsroom. So we're talking about a story that continues to break. The family today sues another video. I guess this is the third video casting a new light on the police killing of Mario Woods. Now, you know, this new video of the fatal shooting shows San Francisco police officers fired a barrage of bullets at him. While he held his arms at his side. And this is an apparent contradiction to the police department's account that he prompted his killing by threatening officers with a kitchen knife. So when you look at this, and I'm going to play some of this, by the way, it's graphic audio coming up here, but the 2-minute video, my God, it's pretty damning, to be honest. Burris said, the attorney said at the news conference today that the footage disproved the police chief's assertions at a December 4th town hall meeting where he presented a blown-up frame from another civilian video that he said showed Woods' arm outstretched before the first shots were fired. Proof that he was pointing, you know, a knife at the officers. Mario's arms were at his side, so says his attorney. He was not committing a dangerous act. So, you know, we're having this conversation tonight. Wasn't there another way to handle this?
Well, as we've discussed, in San Francisco, police officers are not armed with tasers. As we noted, it was brought up 2 years ago, and the San Francisco Police Commission put a lot of restrictions on it. There was probably a lot of conversation, like we heard from, was it Amir earlier?
Aram,
who said that, you know, the tasers only work 30% of the time. But, you know, the question then becomes, you know, maybe you need to read the room. You know,
okay, I mean, so the police officers and the chief saying 15 bullets or 20, whatever the case may be, had no choice but to use lethal force after attempts to disarm Woods with beanbag rounds and pepper spray were unsuccessful.
Right.
Did
they say they used pepper spray?
So this latest story says. Okay, let's go to the phones because we have so many people that want to weigh in. All right, Heather.
Brad in Pacifica.
Hi, you're on KGO.
Yes, hi. I think I have a solution. Whatever happened to the German shepherds that would ride along with the officer would simply have the dog on a leash. If the perpetrator did not comply, then the officer would release the dog, and the dog would go and subdue the attacker.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. No, you know, I'm scratching my head. Why not? We have to have a canine unit, don't we? Do we have canine units?
I don't know if we do, but I'm sure the San Francisco Police Department does. Why it wasn't sent out on this particular incident, I don't know. Maybe this wasn't the kind of incident where they would send a police dog.
Right.
Hey,
but it's certainly a potential option.
808-0810. Yes, Heather.
Oh, here he is. Great. Mike, sorry we dropped you that last time, but Mike in Livermore has some great training and can answer a lot of questions for us.
Go ahead, Mike.
How you guys doing?
Good.
So I want to preface this by saying I've seen the videos, and these cops are in for a world of hurt. They're going to get hung out to dry on this one. I just wanted to give a little bit of insight into training when it comes to firearms for close quarters combat. I am a three-tour infantry veteran with the United States Marine Corps and have had personal experience in gun battles at close distance with both long arms and handguns. One of the things I wanted to clear up is John was talking earlier about how he had spoken to the chief of police and the chief of police had used the term training shoot to kill. It's kind of a misnomer when they say something like that. The way that they train you for dealing with a situation like this is when you do have to shoot on a subject. The easiest target to hit on a human body is center mass because it's a larger target. The reason they call it shoot to kill is because you've got so many vital organs in that area that there is a higher probability that it will kill the subject. The reason they train you to shoot center mass is because in a situation like this, and coming from personal experience, I've had situations like this where I had bullets flying past me and it was them or me. Your heart rate, your adrenaline, your breathing, everything goes through the roof. And I don't care what anybody tells you, when you're trained on the shooting line, at a shooting range, under calm situations, at a stationary paper target, you're going to be a lot more accurate than you are with a moving subject while you're moving, dodging a threatening situation, and you've got your heart rate, your adrenaline, and your breathing going through the roof.
All
you're
right.
Never going to be as accurate in a situation like that. And that's why they train an officer. And the concept is if they train them to shoot center mass, that even if they're not as accurate as they would have been on the range, there's less likely going to be a chance for collateral damage by them missing and hitting somebody behind them or another situation coming up where a bullet goes through a wall and a child gets killed.
Well,
higher probability of not having collateral damage by shooting center mass on a target.
Thank you. And when you watch this video, and I hear what you're saying, but there's no, I don't see anyone in this latest video as of today.
We've got our Friday night editor, Elizabeth Prohl, has taken a 30-second clip of audio from that 2-minute video just released. We've beeped out some of the profanity. Listen to this.
You have to shoot him that many times! They could have grabbed that knife from
him! For real. He
want no shit. I got it on camera. Okay, I got that on camera. You couldn't grab
chance. He's already stabbed somebody.
Oh, but now you want to bring them back to life?
You hear that?
Wow. Yeah. Can't take that chance.
It's really stirring. It's very disturbing to watch the video.
And I just want to clarify something. I'm paraphrasing when I talk about the police chief. He may have said something like center mass. I've heard that before, but I have asked him directly. Do you have to shoot to kill? And again, the response was much like this guy gave. We have to, go for center mass. We've got to stop the intruder.
Well, as that last caller said, it's what a situation this is. These people are going to be hung out to dry.
The bottom line here is that these guys are going to be hung out to dry, or they may be hung out to dry because they followed through with their police training.
All right, one more call, and go ahead, Heather.
Let's see. I forgot who this was. Stefan in Alameda.
Stefan, thank you for holding. You're on the Drex Radio Show on KGO.
How are you doing? Great show tonight. Hey, listen, why can't those guys fire a dart like the doctors do when they want to bring down an animal and examine them? Why can't they just fire a dart and then let them collapse?
Think it takes a while for that drug to go into effect.
But there are so many alternatives, and there will continue to be even more.
Well, and what's interesting is that this, I think, is going to fall the way of the high-speed chase. Used to be there were lots of high-speed police chases, and there were horrible accidents, police officers killed, citizens killed, and now police officers are allowed the judgment call to back off of a high-speed chase, and, I'm not so sure it has been a bad thing.
No, you're right. We don't hear much about that anymore. All right, thank you very much, everybody, for the calls, and unfortunately, we can't get to all of them. We're going to move on. Candace DeLong, our FBI profiler, is going to join us next. She may have some comments about this, and we're also going to talk about some other things that are happening nationally. And we'll continue on the Drex Radio Show. Thank you for listening to KGO 810.